Welcome to the Housetop Podcast, the teaching arm of Oikos Ministries. Jesus said, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops." Join our host, Terrell Hebert, as he teaches God's Word.
Good evening, Facebook. We're Oikos Ministries, and we're glad you're joining us tonight. We're going through a book I wrote back in 2010 based on Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. And we're covering six principles of the doctrines of Christ. It's repentance from dead works, faith toward God, baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Those six subjects, we cover them thoroughly, and we're up to the point of resurrection from the dead. Now, we've been on this for a few weeks and quite a few sessions into this. And if you've missed any of it, you can always go to our website at www.housechurchesusa.com, and you can go through there, and there's all kind of teachings, but you could catch up anything you've missed on these teachings and follow along with it. Now, last week in particular, we were dealing with a review, we've been going over Matthew 24, and I'll catch you back up on some of that. I'm not going to review it all like we did last week, but we went and we did what we call a macro view for the book of Revelation, with just a big picture overview of the book of Revelation. And so, like I said, if you've missed any of that, you can always go to our website and catch up with what you missed and fill in the blanks. I find that this is a really good help if you're a serious student of the Bible. And I really believe right now there's this feeling about end times. It's people are awakening to it right now. And so as they're awakening to it, the Bible teaches us that in the last days we will have better understanding concerning the resurrection of the dead. So the closer we get to this great time called the Day of the Lord or the coming of our Lord, the more we should prepare ourselves and really, really understand what God has given us to understand. And so let's do that. Let's jump in. We're in 1 Corinthians 15. That's been our text on the resurrection from the dead. And I want to read it in full context because it's so pertinent to what we're dealing with. Starting in 15, verse 20. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. And he says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." Notice that, the first fruit of them that slept. "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming." Now that's where we are. I'm going to read it in context, but that's where we are. That verse, Christ the first fruits, and those that are his at his coming. Now we've covered Christ in the first fruits, and we will continue to cover first fruits a little further because there's some more to be harvested in first fruits. But for now, we're really honing in on the coming of the Lord, or those that are his at his coming. Well, let's finish it. It says in verse 24, "Then comes the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is manifest that he has accepted which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued to him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all." Now that's our full context, and it captures so much of what we're trying to, or what we're teaching on right now. And we're just finding all this support scripture that fits with all this. So what we've done, our studies have carried us in particular to, like I said earlier, to Matthew 24, and Matthew 24 dealt with the three questions. When will these things be, which meant about the dealing with the destruction of the temple in 70 AD under Roman Emperor Titus? And what shall be the sign of your coming? That was the second question. And the end of the world. So the sign of his coming has everything to do with our subject we're dealing with. And that is that those that are his at his coming. And he gives lots of indicators and signs, lots of verses. The Bible is loaded with verses concerning the coming of our Lord. Now, one of the things I want to point out in particular, the word coming, in most cases when you see this in association with the coming of our Lord, the Greek word is apocalypse. And that is literally, it means revelation. And so the revealing of our Lord. And last week we pointed that out in chapter 1 of Revelation. That's what we dealt with last week. Taking the book of Revelation, kind of making it into an understandable, chronological, sequential order. So you can just kind of wrap your brain around it, because that book is written in some peculiar ways. And I think much of the Bible has some of the same characteristics, that they would state the thing and then give details of the thing, and then you get kind of lost. It's almost like you forget that they already stated the whole picture. Now, we dealt with last week, we dealt with chapter 1, the revelation of Jesus. Chapters 2 and 3, the church age, and we went through all that, church ages. Chapter 4 was the scene around the throne of God. Chapter 5, the Lamb was found worthy to open the book. And we determined that book to be the book of Daniel, and break the seven seals. And we dealt with the breaking of each seal and the events that went with it. Also, we dealt with the blowing of the trumpets. And and as the sixth trumpet blows in chapter 11, we went from chapter, and we really pointed out chapter 6 through chapter 11 of Revelation tell the whole story of what the end will be. It tells the whole picture of the book of Revelation. And we call it the macro view. This week, we're going to start filling in the blanks. We're going to go into what we call the micro view. And it's more detailed, and I don't think I can cover the ground as fast as we did the macro view. But what we'll do, we're going to get with in Revelation. Let's just go there in chapter 12. Now remember, it tells the whole story, 6 through 11. And then in chapter 12, we get some unusual, it's almost like, wow, what just happened here? And prayerfully, we can help you understand what just happened. Chapter 12, starting in verse 1, I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, the great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast him to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as he was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Now, just for sake of not me just reading along the whole thing, I want to tell you, this story here, I believe what we're seeing here, it's almost going to be the exact same story read again. I believe what you're going to see is that it covers the Old Testament. That woman, that wonder that she saw in heaven, that woman is picturesque of Israel and the 12 tribes of Israel. As a matter of fact, one of the key things we find in Genesis chapter 37, if you recall, when Joseph was a young boy, he dreamed. And in his dreaming, he saw the sun and the moon and the 11 stars come and bow down to him, to himself, him being the 12th star. And it really is a picture of the 12 sons of Jacob. And so we see the 12 tribes of Israel depicted. The woman had the star, the crown around her head, and literally that part of the bride being the Old Testament bunch. And so let's just look at a few particulars in here that I want to point out concerning the dragon. Now, I believe that woman with the 12 stars, now I've heard some try to say that that's the Virgin Mary. Not going to happen. It doesn't work at all. That is not what that is dealing with. So let's keep moving. And so he saw the woman, a wonder in heaven, the woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, on her head 12 stars, and she being with child, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. I believe this is a picture of the entire Old Testament, considering from the law of Moses all the way, the law and the prophets, literally every anointed son that was born was attacked, was literally this red dragon, this demonic satanic beast was wanting to devour and stop the Christ from being born. Remember, the prophecies of Christ started way back, even in the garden. And Moses said, a prophet like unto me, you shall rise up. And so they were waiting for that Christ figure to show up at some point. And so all throughout the Old Testament, every time the woman brought forth one of these great ones, there was the beast, I mean, the dragon ready to consume it. Okay, and look at, now I want you to see the characteristics in verse 3. There appeared another wonder in heaven, behold, a great dragon having 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 crowns on his head. So the 7 heads, heads are always a reference to leadership. The horns are always a sign of power, right? And then finally, the crowns are actual authority, all right? And so there can be power without authority. But this says, so this dragon had 7 heads, 7 being the number of completion or perfected, perfect completeness. And so the complete world leadership would be the picture of the 7 heads. The 10 horns would be, again, 10 as a governmental completeness, that perfect power in the governmental aspects of it. They had very powerful government. And then finally, the crowns, the 7 crowns on the head, again, perfect authority, had the authority of the whole world, a complete authority over the whole world. Now, I can tell you that this red dragon, Satan himself, but it literally is the picture of what emerged to be the precursor to the Roman Empire and became the Roman Empire. Okay? And we'll look at that in just a few minutes. I'll tie them together. Excuse me. And his tail drew the third part of stars from heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule the nations with all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness. Let me stop just for a second. So this man child that is to rule all nations with the rod of iron, without any question, that's the birth of Jesus Christ. And so, and then he was caught up to God. So we have the life of Christ, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Christ. And it says, and he was caught up to the throne of God. And then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she was given a place prepared of God that they should feed her there for 1,260 days. And if you want to, wants to do some simple math, divide 30 into that, all right, and you'll get 42 months, or you'll get 3.5 years, or you'll get time times and a half time. This is the picture. So this is an actual amount of time that the woman was carried away into the wilderness. And my understanding of this, folks, this would also encompass the Jewish diaspora, the dispersion, where it became illegal for Jews to live in Rome. They exiled all the Romans out of all the Christians out of Rome. They exiled all the Jews out of Rome. They were just pushing the Jews out. The Jews were under terrible persecution, but so were the Christians. But also, it can be further that they were scattered throughout all nations. I mean, this is literally the scattering or the diaspora of all the Jewish people. So again, we see this picture, and it's an Old Testament. It's covering the Old Testament. Now watch carefully how it almost goes back over the same thing again. In verse 7, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. The red dragon, okay? And prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, I got a lot to say about this, and I've literally, it's been one of the most difficult things to wrap my brain around for quite a few years, because we keep seeing Satan in the earth, and we just, okay, was there one definitive time? To me, there was a progressive fall of Lucifer. We find him first in the book of Job, and I'm not going to go into all the details on this, but in the book of Job, we find that the devil is walking to and fro in the earth and really appearing at the throne of God. Job's supposed to be one of the oldest pieces of literature that we have. And so we find that the devil had access to God and would accuse before God. But to me, the real kicker is Isaiah chapter 14. And I do want to turn there. Isaiah 14. Verse 12. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Five times he said, Lucifer, the son of, said, I will. Five times. And he said, yet you shall be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit, that they that see thee shall narrowly look upon you and consider and say, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did make kingdoms and did shake kingdoms? Now, there's a picture of the fall of Lucifer. Now, it's literally being used as an analogy or a figurative. But turn to Ezekiel. We'll see something very similar to it. In Ezekiel chapter 28, I'm not going to tarry long at these. I don't want to put too much information, but I want to tell you, I'm not going to tarry long unless there's something I really want to go into. Verse 11 of Ezekiel 28. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Cyrus. Now, he's prophesying, or he's really a lamentation, a weeping, almost like a weeping prophecy over the prince of Tyre, or the king of Tyre. And so literally it's a prophecy. It's again, another comparison, figurative analogy. Watch. And say unto him, thus says the Lord, you seal up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You have been in Eden, the garden of God. Now, what he's doing is comparing Tyrus, king of Tyre, to Lucifer in the Garden of Eden, Satan in the Garden of Eden. And watch what he goes on to say. You have been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardis, topaz, diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, sapphire, emerald, carbuncle, gold, workmanship of your tabret and of the pipes was prepared in thee in the day you were created. You are the anointed cherub that covers, and I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. You have walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. In verse 17, he says, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You have corrupted your wisdom by reason of the brightness. I will cast you to the ground. I will lay thee before kings and they may behold thee. And I'm not going to keep reading it all. But here we see a picture that Lucifer fell in the early days. That Lucifer was cast out of heaven in the early days. And if we look at another New Testament passage, we'll look at one that fits the Old Testament fall of Lucifer, 2 Peter chapter 2. By the way, the second epistle, matter of fact, both epistles of Peter are loaded with end times references, and they're very good for you to study. But in chapter 2 of 2 Peter, verse 4, for if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and delivered them to change of darkness. Now notice where he puts it chronologically. And he spared not the old world, save Noah. Verse 6, and turned in the cities of Sodom. So it's showing the fall of Satan and bringing the angels with him prior to Noah's flood and the Sodom and Gomorrah events. So if we look at that carefully, then we can see in place that there was an Old Testament some way that I believe he was cast out of the third heaven and the place of God where then he was cast lower. Now, I want you to see what happened in Luke chapter 10. I think he took another blow to his kingdom in Luke 10. Luke One of my favorite stories, really one of the favorite things that I understand about the New Testament church, Jesus sent out 70 other apostles, and I love that. And when they came back, they were just excited. Verse 17 of chapter 10. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through thy name. And he said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. So again, I believe what we see is a shaking in the New Testament where the principalities and powers that hold certain regions were literally, they fell then. And so they were relinquishing power even then. And now we have this kingdom, and we'll explain that later as we go into this micro view. We'll catch it later about the kingdom of God really coming on strong now. Let's go back to Revelation. So I hope you're seeing the point. We have this fall of the Old Testament that was very well depicted. And the New Testament, we see a furtherance of that fall of the Lucifer. And we're in Revelation 12 and verse 9. And that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God. Now, we are moving into kingdom age at this point, okay? And when Jesus began to send his disciples out and train them of how the church would function throughout the kingdom age, this was the powerful thing that caused Satan to lose his grip in the world kingdoms. Do you understand that? And so now this is now is that devil cast out. Now is the kingdom of our God come. And we are living in the kingdom of God age. This is the church age. And so what all we depicted in Revelation 2 and 3 about the seven letters to the seven churches and calling or comparing them to seven church ages, this is what we're in. That verse right there gives us, it places us sequentially in the order of events, chronologically, if you would. This is where we are, okay? And then they overcame him. I didn't finish the verse. Now has come salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto death. Now, again, can't be old covenant, because now with new covenant, we have the blood of the Lamb. We overcome the wicked one who has been cast down into the earth, where the accuser, he doesn't stand before God. Now he's right in our face accusing us and bringing his modus operandi is twofold. First, he deceives you, and if he can get a deception in your brain, then he will make you afraid. Those are the two things he wants to do. 1-2 punch. Deceive you and bring you into fear, and he'll own you. That's how it works. It's just how it is. Keep moving. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in the earth, in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, and the sea, for the devil has come down to you because he's having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. Now, doesn't that sound just like what we read in verses 1-6? But now we have the Israel being persecuted, and now we have the woman who persecuted. We have them both in a persecution situation. Both are historically factual and true. And we are in that time frame even now where the devil, right now, there's more martyrdom going on for Christianity than all the other generations put together. Right now. Okay? And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle. Wow. Now, can I ask you a question? What's the national bird of America? You want to know where America is in Scripture? Y'all may not like it when I get done, but yeah, we're there. Two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness and to her place where she is nourished for a time, times and a half time, from the face of the serpent. So this wonderful protection that was given to the woman, the Christian, really Christianity moved westward into a wilderness Man, we know the pilgrim story. We know the persecution that led Christianity to move westward and into the Americas and develop this this whole place. And it has became a place where for a season we've been nourished. Christianity's been nourished. You say, well, we don't know years and times. And what's that time, times and a half time? Listen, this is one event and it points to the middle of the 70th week of Daniel, known as the Great Tribulation. Time is a year. Times is 2 years. That's 3 years. And a half time is 6 months. Time, times, and a half time, 3.5 years. How long did the woman protected the Israel, the first woman? 1,260 days? You want to do the math? It's 3.5 years. Okay? So it's the same event and it's the same issue that they're all going to culminate in the middle of the 70th week of Daniel. Okay, you're still tracking with me? Keep going. And the serpent cast out of his mouth waters of flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman. The earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keeps the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. How about that? How about if you, y'all, this picture is so clear to me, and I pray it's being conveyed. I hope you're getting it, that this is so clear of the persecution of Israel, the persecution of Christianity, and the person that Israel brought forth the man child, Jesus Christ. And now the persecution against both have been off the chain. All right. It's because of the one true God, the Lord God, Jehovah. This is our issue. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And while I'm there, let me just say this. The book of 2 Peter chapter 3 says, I would not have you to be ignorant of this one thing, that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. And that perspective of how God thinks, the eternal, that what we think 1,000 years is a huge, a millennium. But I'm going to say it again. I believe that God dealt directly with man from the time of creation, as we know, as in particular in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, verse 3. From that point all the way to the end of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's 2,000 years. God dealt directly with man. From the time of the 12 tribes of Israel all the way through to the ascension of Christ into heaven, He dealt with man 2,000 years through Jesus Christ. And the prophecy, all the law and the prophets, Jesus was named in the law of the prophets for 2,000 years until John the Baptist came, Jesus came, and we culminated in the death, burial, and resurrection, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It came into actuality and fruition, and now He's seated at the right hand of God. So then for the next 2,000 years, which we are in, God sent the Holy Spirit, the kingdom age. We just saw that in verse 10. Now the kingdom of God. Now has come salvation and the kingdom of our God. Salvation and power and the kingdom of God. This is now. We're in that right now. Okay? Now, so we see this chapter 12 of Revelation take a turn and begin to give this big overview of generational overview. It just paints a broad picture. Look at chapter 13. Now something very specific happens. I stood on the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea having 7 heads. What? 10 horns. And upon his horns, 10 crowns. Now, where did we read that before? Chapter 12. Okay? Look at that carefully. And if we look at verse 2, and upon his head, the names of blasphemy. And verse 2, the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were as the feet of a bear, mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Where did this beast get its power? From the red dragon. Okay. Now, we're going to pause there just 1 second. But I want to tell you that verse 2, if you go to Daniel chapter 7, and you can read all about this in Daniel chapter 7, that beast is prophesied in Daniel 7 to the T. This one right here. Now, what you're going to deal with in Daniel 7, Nebuchadnezzar had a vision, and so did Daniel. And in those visions, there was 4 kingdoms, if you would, and 4 beasts, if you would. It was milder under Nebuchadnezzar's vision, and it was the head of gold, chest of silver, loins of brass, lower legs and feet were a composite of iron and clay, which we all know doesn't mix. And so it was a fragile base to this whole thing. But on top of head of gold was Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar. Chest of silver was again Babylon, a weakened Babylon that would shift over into Medes and Persians under his son Belshazzar. And then we go into the Medes and the Persians, and they were taken over by Alexander the Great. Y'all remember that? And it ushered in the third king, which would be the Roman Empire, which was in power. And literally, it was the Medes and Persians and brought in the Roman Empire at the time of Christ. So it just transitioned over through Alexander the Great's conquest. And so watch carefully. So that's the Greco-Roman Empire. Remember, very important. Now, if you let's take a little trip over to Revelation 17. Now, remember, when we're going to just grab these chapters and bring them in where they fit, okay? Revelation 17, verse 1. There came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me. We'll get to those probably next session. And he talked with me, saying unto me, come here, and I will show you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. The inhabitants of the earth have made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Where do we read that at? Okay. And a woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her head was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of all harlots and abominations of the earth. Now, this is a great whore, and she has daughters who are also harlots. Okay, now, notice the great harlot of Babylon was literally riding on the beast. You hear that? She was carried by the first beast here. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. The angel said to me, why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast. Now, he's going to interpret it, so it needs no more interpretation. He said, I'll show you the mystery of the woman and the beast that carried her, which had the seven heads and ten horns. Remember, seven heads are leadership, perfect leadership. Ten horns, complete power. All right. The beast that you saw was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Now, this is so important that we place this. We look at Revelation chapter 12 and we are introduced to this red dragon beast. And we know it carries the mother of all harlotry, the mother of all the abominations and filthiness of the world. Let me tell you, this is a spiritual issue, very spiritual. This is not a political thing. This is spiritual. All right. And it start with the beginning of it was Babel. It's the Tower of Babel. You remember the pyramid structure of Babel. Babylon is there. And it really would be modern day Persia or Iran. And it's the Shinar, the land of Shinar. And where you remember the story where the Starks carried the woman in a basket. They put a lead because she's the filth of abominations. Remember that. She's drunk, literally, on fornication. She teaches the whole earth to fornicate, the kings of the earth. Now, remember, fornication is sexual intimacy without covenant. And I'm telling you, this religious spiritual whore teaches people, they say, you can go to heaven and live however you want to live and still go to heaven. All you have to do is ask God to forgive you. No covenant whatsoever. And this is an abomination. And it leads people into abomination. Keep going. Verse 9. Here is the... Before I go too far. The beast was, the dragon was and is, and it and it was not, and then yet it is. See, we know the Roman Empire went away, but the Roman Empire was, and then it was not. And then when that America was birthed, we became literally a mirror image of the Greco-Roman Empire. We became, you can literally trace the work of Rome with the work of America, and it's almost identical. It's a spiritual reincarnation, if you would, of that beast. It was, then it was not, and now it is. And I believe it's alive and kicking in the United States of America. There was a time you couldn't have made me believe that. And now, you know, we got a change of administration. We think, oh, we're great again. We're making America. That's wonderful. We're making America great politically and all that stuff. But let me tell you something. America has killed 3,000 babies a day for many, many years. America is a harbor for every kind of abomination, and we're a main exporter of every kind of freakish activity going. We're on America's on pornography, billions of hits a day on pornography, every abomination you can dream of. And not only that, we're the number one consumer in child sex trafficking. And you, this is a freaky nation. Don't even get me started on how we couldn't fit that bill. I'm telling you, it fits the bill, and our politics ain't no different. Don't be caught up and do not get deceived just because we seem to be having a good run in politics right now. Now, stay with it. And here's the mind of that has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. Now, again, these mountains are the mountains of strength. That literally solidify her world leadership, right? The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, and even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goes into perdition. And the ten horns which you saw are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings with 1 hour, for 1 hour with the beast. Now, if I'm right, folks, I believe that the United States of America is the beast of Revelation 13. At least the key player is in it. See, I believe the beast is the final composite of all the beasts that ever were before. And a beast is always a nation that had world leadership. That's what always a beast translates out to be. And so America is the world leader and will be even more powerful world leader real soon. And so this beast, literally, there are kings without kingdoms that are going to give their power to the beast for 1 hour. We're seeing that right now. Elon Musk, okay, I'm just going to throw a name out there. He is a king without a kingdom. He has more power than anybody. He got more money than anybody, but he has no rightful authority other than the little bit of authority Trump gave him. But the point being is that this is the kind of things I can name you right off the top of my head, 10 men with kings that are kings without kingdoms because of these unbelievable riches that are going on now. And so the seven mountains are always a lifted up an obstacles, but really they're really the mountains of pride. And this is it, you know, American pride. And this kind of, folks, this is the pride of America is what this is an archenemy of God. And even though we shine like a mirror and we're number one, all that stuff, let me tell you what, pride is an abomination to God. You better never forget it. It'll make you his enemy. What do you think made Satan fall? I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, five times. And then God cast him out. So stay with it. I'll finish reading this. They have one mind and shall give their power and strength to the beast. These make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he said to me, the waters which you saw where the whore sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. The ten horns which you saw upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. They'll hate her and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put it in their hearts to fulfill his will, to agree and give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which you saw is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Now, if you want me to go out on the limb, here I go. That great whore is the Roman Catholic Church. She's a spiritual harlot and a usurper of everything that's been called right and just and good in the things of Christianity. And it was contrived by the demonic ruler, Roman Emperor Constantine. It was solidified by the false prophet Augustine, and they've rarely been challenged for 1700 years. That's where we are. So in case you were wondering where I stand on the issue, there it is, and it's the spiritual part. Now, we can go on into bigger because Babylon encompasses a lot of things, but the spiritual behind the soulish and the flesh of it literally start with the Roman Catholic Church. Please flee from that thing. Let's go back to chapter 13. Verse 3, I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power to the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given to him to continue 42 months. Okay. The deadly wound was Pearl Harbor. We lost everything we had at Pearl Harbor. We were literally vulnerable and could have, I mean, had Japan continued, it would have been over with. America would have fallen. You know how long World War II lasted? 42 months, folks. You know what happened at the end? You know what happened when it was all said and done? Israel came home, 1948. Whoop. He said, I will hiss, I will call to them, and they're going to come out of all the nations and come home. And get, look, all this stuff that's happening, folks, I feel it in my bones. I feel it. The coming of the Lord draws near. He opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life from the Lamb from the foundation of the world. Let me clear something up about worship. And then when we see this word worship in the New Testament here, it's not about like we're falling out, oh, great beast. Oh, no, we submit to him. We just stay submitted to him. You see, that's what perfect leadership does. That's what perfect power does. That's what perfect authority does. It causes you to just be submissive to it. Stay with me. If any man have an ear to hear, let him hear. Folks, we need to pay very much attention right now. And I know I can hear the moans and groans from everybody thinking about, man, don't rain on our parade. We're having such fun with the brand new administration. Hey, man, I love the policies and I think they're on the right track and all that. But I'm telling you, this nation in her pride is literally, you watch, please don't go all in. Don't get deceived. A word to the wise is sufficient. Verse 10, he that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. If you look at chapter 14, verse 2, just for a second. I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, as the voice of great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. I think I wrote down the wrong verse here for folks. No, it's verse 12, excuse me. Here is the patience of the saints and they that keep the commandments of God and faith of Jesus. Now, I'm going to get back to that in a minute. I just wanted to tie the two together real quick. So he's going to define that in chapter 14. All right. And I beheld another beast. Revelation has two beasts. Another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb and he spoke as a dragon. He exercised all the power of the first beast before him and caused the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he does great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. and deceived them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life to the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the beast should be killed. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and in their forehead, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. 666, the number of the beast. Okay, so here we see a second beast that rises up that really is the cheerleader for the first beast. And that second beast is the media, who makes fire come down and shows and can portray the image and literally show everything all at one time. And where do you think the flood of lies has been coming? And don't think it's ended. It's still coming. And the technology that's able to deceive us so easily. I mean, sometimes I'll read an article and read it like it's fact, and just before I catch myself, well, I mean, we don't even know. You just don't know. You can't trust anything in news, nothing in media. And there's only about, what is this, 8 people that own all the media of the earth? 8 people. I bet you're all fine, upstanding people. All right, so we see the macro view. Now we're starting to see the micro come in, and it's starting to have a place that it plugs in. And the culmination of the beast of Revelation 13, which is the composite of all the prior world beast put together, all put together, but it's on a very fragile base of iron and clay. Iron and clay, very brittle. You cannot, that kind of cast, you know, dink, and it breaks. Okay? So, this is a very fragile base that's holding up some very impressive stuff on top, but very fragile legs and feet. Okay, stay with it. Chapter 14, which I believe chapter 14 to be the one of the most interesting chapters in the book of Revelation. Verse 1, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion. Now, we've jumped way ahead. He's standing on Mount Zion. Now, what we're going to call this, folks, is the second coming of our Lord. This would be that he has literally touched down to earth. Remember now, the coming of the Lord is sequential, and there are quite a few events inside of the big event, which is all known as the day of the Lord or the coming of our Lord. But when we look at this, the sequence of it, of course, Christ's first fruits and those that are his at his coming. Remember, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And we will all be, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Now, this is the first resurrection. And where does it happen? We meet the Lord in the air. We go up. Behold, he cometh with clouds. We meet the Lord in the air. We go up to meet him, and we go into heaven. All right? Now, at that time, Revelation 19, the first part of it will come to pass, and the marriage supper of the Lamb will take place. And so it's important that we wrap our brain around the idea Christ's first fruits and those that are his at his coming will literally be caught up together, and the marriage supper of the Lamb will take place in heaven. All right? And we have, let me run ahead of myself. I'm going to get excited about this. I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him the 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and the voice of great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping and with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb wherever he goes. They were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Now, there's a picture, a capsule of not only the lamb that we caught up, but then this is the return, that when we come back with Jesus to the earth, this will all take place on Mount Zion. Now, of course, Christ will step foot on, according to Zechariah chapter 14, he will step foot on the Mount of Olives, which Mount of Olives and Mount Zion are right near each other. As a matter of fact, Olives is a great place to look at Zion. And so it's when we see this picture that Christ will touch Mount of Olives and it's going to split into three pieces, but literally we will see him standing and he cometh with 10,000s of his saints. This is when we will come and the judgment seat of Christ will take place, but we're going to get to that in some further sessions. So let's stay with it. I saw another angel. Now this is going to be peculiar. Now what, this is where I think it gets really interesting in the 14th chapter. You're going to see seven angels come out. I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell on the earth, to every people, kindred, and tongue, every nation and kindred and tongue and people, excuse me, saying with a loud voice, fear God, give him glory, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made the earth, the heaven and the earth, and the sea and the fountains of water. Now, this is important. I believe what you're seeing here is a shift, all right, with this first angel at this time, in this sequence. An angel preaching the gospel, all right? Something has shifted. The church age has ended, all right? And we're in now, we're right at the judgment seat of Christ. Look, that's what he's saying right here. The hour of his judgment has come. It's here, all right? But the gospel, this is something that cleared in my mind, something that it's been gnawed in my mind for forever. Are there people saved after the marriage supper of the Lamb? And I believe there are. And as a matter of fact, I think that's what's going to constitute the judgment seat of Christ and the judgment of nations, where the literal throne is set on the earth. And the sheep at the right and the goats at the left. The nations are going to be judged. And we're going to be part of that judgment. The church and those who were there at the marriage supper of the Lamb will be part of those judging the earth. Keep reading. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, the great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Now, I'm not going to go into detail on it tonight, but you can read this exactly in Revelation 18. Remember, in 17, he showed us the dragon carrying the whore. The whore is the great whore of Babylon. This is a spiritual, religious thing. Okay? And God said, come out of her. It's the world systems of religion. Okay? But spearheaded, let me tell you, Roman Catholicism has 2.2 billion believers the last time I checked. Muslims are right in that same, Islam is right in there with it. And what's happening right now with the Abraham Accords, and even now, I think the president just declared that America is going to take over the Gaza Strip. This is going to be interesting to watch the development of it. I'm starting to understand that I believe the temple that we're going to know it. There ain't no way the Muslims are going to let you take the Dome of the Rock down without World War III. Okay? There's 2 billion Muslims now. Remember, that's half the earth. Between Roman Catholics and Muslims, that's half the earth. That's 4 billion people. And we ain't touched about the other. We ain't talking about the daughters of the whore, the evangelicals and others. I'm an equal religion basher. If you're a system of this world, don't worry. I don't believe you're valid. Simple enough. Jesus said, come out of her, my people. That's what the call is. Come out of her, my people. Don't just come out. Okay. I'm running. I ain't leaving Jesus, but I'm leaving that world system of religion, that pyramidical structure. Bye. So, the third angel followed, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or hand, the same shall drink the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. This is a very important. This is a powerful verse. And the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast in his image and whoever receives his mark, the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. I mean, can you keep God's commandment without a world system of religion? I mean, is your faith one that says, I don't need the world system of religion. I worship God, and I'm going to resist the beast every turn he makes. I'm resisting. I'm not going to submit my life to the beast. Now, watch carefully. This verse 11 in particular, 10 and 11 are very important. There are many who say we don't burn in hell forever. You just poof, you're gone, or you just cease to exist or whatever. This says that those who worship the beast or submit to the beast, listen to it carefully. The smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever. They have no rest day or night. Forever and ever. Eternal judgment is a terrible thing, and we'll get back on this subject in our next subject, eternal judgment. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from here on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Now, this is important. Again, I think this lends credence to the idea that there are those who get saved under the everlasting gospel preached by angels during the vials of wrath or the last trumpet, the last vials of the seven vials of wrath. I believe there will be people saved after the marriage supper of the Lamb. I think this is a tremendous thought. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And upon the cloud one sat like the Son of Man, having in his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Now, where do we see that? Jesus said, behold, he cometh with clouds. Doesn't it say it? When the disciples were looking up and said, why are you looking up? And Jesus was taken up into heaven. He said, why are you looking up? Because he's coming back just like that in the clouds of glory. Jesus told Pilate and all, he said, hereafter you will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of glory with great power. That's what, blasphemy. Jesus said, behold, he comes with cloud. Every eye shall see him. Now we know with modern technology and all that, we can see an event no matter what remote part of the earth it's on. We can watch it happen in real time. Keep going. Now, I think I can wrap this up and stop for tonight. Verse 15, another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Now, Jesus said, when he said, what will be the sign of your coming? This was one of them. You see the Son of Man coming in clouds of glory. Look, there will be sign. You'll see a sign in the heavens. But then the harvest of the earth. Next, and he that sat on the cloud said, thrust in your sickle into the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven. He also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in your sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in the sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even to the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Folks, we're talking about 3 foot of blood. Now, let me just read verse 1 of chapter 15. I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. we're getting to that place. Now, we're starting to place everything where it goes, all right? And so if we look at what we've taken on the macro view or the micro view tonight, we can take the big picture of Revelation 12, where the dragon began in the Roman Empire and is reincarnated in the United States of America. That's one thing we can see. Now, you might differ with me and say, I think it's this or I think it's that. You go find another world leader or a world leadership or one that could even emerge that would be stronger. Folks, it won't fit the time frames now. There's never been another nation like the United States of America, first in everything, right? And so Revelation 12 and 13, the beast of Revelation 13 being the reincarnate of the Roman Empire, Greco-Roman society, and also the idea of a second beast, a media that would lie and could make everybody submit to the beast. All right. Chapter 14 then goes into this. So here we have this world player which lines up exactly with Daniel chapter 7. The beast of Daniel 7. Also Nebuchadnezzar's beast in chapter 2 of Daniel. And we start seeing this all start to fit in the time frames of the church age, then the breaking of the seals, the blowing of the trumpets, and now we're starting to say, as particular, we've come to that seventh trumpet when the kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. And literally, when Jesus will have offered up the kingdoms to God. And we're seeing it, we're even coming right back down to establishing the throne of Christ in the earth. This is a very powerful time. So we're starting to see all these pieces of the puzzle begin to snap in. Okay? And so when we come back together, we're going to take from chapter 15, we're going to look at those seven vials of wrath. We're going to see the wrath of God. And it's going to bring us to the point of literally dealing with the idea of the judgments. The judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne judgment. All right, so I was amazed I got through that. I got through it tonight. So God bless you. Glad you joined us. I see there's quite a few people joining us tonight. So thankful that you come along with us. And I hope you got all this. And I pray that you will understand. He who hears, let him understand. Let's not be ignorant of this thing. A day with the Lord's 1,000 years, 1,000 years with a day. And we don't need to have an inner man scoffing that really in our heart we believe he delays his coming. We better believe he's coming and live with an urgency. Amen? God bless you. See you next time. By the way, we won't be here next week, but the following week. We'll be out of town for a week. So God bless. We'll see you next time.
We are so thankful that you joined us for this teaching today. It's our sincere prayer that many of you would be born again through hearing God's word. If you were blessed by this podcast, we would love to hear from you. For more information on Oikos Ministries, visit us on our website, www.housechurchesusa.com.